Let the church say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I really didn't have to get up here. I could have stayed over there in my corner and just worshiped him. Just worshiped him. Man, I'm honored to be here. Didn't know I was going to be here. But I am honored to be here. After getting the call from Miss D on yesterday, you know, I've told her out there in the parlor that she has the power of the phone call. She knows if she called me, I'm going to come. And she called me up, and I'm just so thankful. I'm excited for Pastor Brad and Miss Rebecca. You know, the possibility and the potential of having yet another missionary that could change the world. She could become maybe yet another Billy Graham. She could become a doctor that could cure cancer. The potential of that is huge with every birth, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see yet another life come into this world that has the possibilities of changing another life for Christ. I'm hoping that just before you leave that you'll stop by the table. Got a little table out there. Got a gift for you. You know, for all of you that have a little laptop or a little computer, got a little something, a little FCA thing, you can pull out a little thing out and clean it up, clean your glasses. Got magazines out there. It's a copy of three Bibles, though you can't take them with you, but just want to let you look at them. That's our Coach's Bible, our Competitor's Bible, and our Camp Bible, what we give out. We gave out 2,000 of those this past year, and our expectations are terribly higher for this year. I was talking outside that, you know, we've gone to college campuses, and we've got kids that don't even know who Paul is. And we say that we're in the Bible Belt, and we are, but we've got kids that don't know who Joshua, Moses, just have a little inkling as to who Jesus is, and they're on a college campus. Have they ever had a Bible? My grandmama had a Bible. Have you ever seen a Bible? Seen a Bible in a motel room. That's where we are. So in FCA, our goal this year, we're going to push it on our college campuses. Our most influential athletes, our students, our athletes on those campuses, and we're going to push it. So, but anyway, I'm hoping you go out. We got a website, pinebeltfca.org, and if you're a Facebook person, we're Pinebelt FCA. Go click and, you know, friend us on that. If you want to see happy kids praising the Lord and kids in different places doing things for God, go on Facebook and get that and be connected to that. Pick up a donor card. Consider being a monthly gift. You know, that $20-$25 a month, it's huge for us. Because, you know, every time you do that, you may go to McDonald's or you may go down the road and you spend $20-$25, you know, just spending it on food. But if you do it per month with FCA, you might get a kid for Christ somewhere, someone that you don't even know. You might be part of that that voyage in reaching young people. So pick up one. You can go to the website and see if that's something you might want to do or consider. Happy New Year to everybody. Dadgummit, I'm expecting 2014 to be the bomb. I don't know about you, but I'm looking so much forward to it. We have big expectations in 2014 through FCA. And later on this month, we'll have big baseball, softball rally. Got a couple of pro baseball players, we hope, before they go to their 40-man roster to talk to some of our baseball and softball teams. Later on this month, at the end of this month, the first part of February, is the FCA getaway, college getaway. We'll take perhaps maybe 150, 180 college student-athletes to Twin Pines down here in Florence. We always meet with them. It's kind of like, you know, it's been awesome. We get these student-athletes from all kind of sports to come in and give them an oil check and see how they are in the Lord. Last year, which was so crazy, Hugh Freeze sent 25 of his senior football players to that getaway. 25. And but after that, you know, then for spring break, I'm told that they sent three or four of those guys to Venezuela somewhere for a mission trip. He did it. Spent it out of his own money. Hugh Freeze. So a lot of the college coaches, they'll send some of the most influential guys to that big gathering that we have, the FCA College Getaway, and they get it now. So we hope to take between 150 to 180 of our kids in our area here. We got we have a lot of mission groups that will be out during spring break in various areas. I have 11 counties, and we have schools that have great coaches that move those kids to go and help people do different things. So if you've got something going on during spring break, you need a little help, call me. I might can get some brawny-looking, ugly-looking football players to come help do something. So call us. In the month of April, of course, is our Breakfast of Champions that will be held at the university. And last year, we had Coach Gene Stallings come by. It was sold out. It's crazy. This year, it's already half sold out. I don't even know who's speaking. So that's April 18th. That's the Friday before Easter. We'll go into the Easter weekend loving the Lord with our conversation about faith and athletics. And then, of course, in May, for those of y'all that like to play a little golf, it'll be the second annual Bobby Myrick FCA Golf Tournament, which will be held at Templeton. It's nice. I mean, we even give you a mulligan, everyone, if you hit the tree or something. So that's in May. In June, we're moving our kids, y'all. You see this list of things we're talking about. In June, we've got two mission trips. One, we're going to Guatemala. We're going to go over there. This lady over there feeds 500 kids and families every day with three people. So we're going to go and put her down for about a week and let some of our student athletes and coaches do something. Plus, also, we're going to hope to build a playground and a gazebo over there. That's the weekend of June 14th through 21st. And then our JCJC group, they're going to Indian Wells, I think it's something in right outside of Bahamas through FCA International. We want to move our kids outside of where they are to another place where they'll know their value in the Lord. I love that word. And then we'll finish up in June and rest a little bit in July. Family reunion on 4th of July. We got my nephew, Chris Storkel. Hopefully he'll be home. They say he'll be home. He's in Afghanistan right now. And we got a new baby coming. Him and his wife got a baby. That's going to be born in March, and of course, you know, he don't know. It'll be the first time he'll see that child. So that's during family reunion for the 4th of July. So if y'all ain't got nothing to do for the 4th of July, come to my house. I got food, so you can always come there. Big expectations in 2014. For expectations are sometimes called resolutions. Y'all make any last week? Some of y'all? So you made one. I make one every year. Grow flowers, eliminate weeds. Every year. Nurture, water what's growing, get rid of what's not. Every year. I say that every year. Grow flowers, eliminate weeds. And while you might have some, I found a few other ones. They're interesting. This is from 7-year-old Ryan. His New Year's resolution is to quit taking my little sister's toys. And then there's 6-year-old Cameron. His New Year's resolution for 2014, stop eating boogers. And then there's Todd, who's 9 years old, and he says his New Year's resolution is stop throwing the dog poop in the neighbor's yard. He does this when his chore is to clean up the dog poop in his own yard. And then there's 36-year-old Rick. Rick says his New Year's resolution is to stop drinking out of the milk container. And he adds his second resolution is to then stop putting back the empty container in the refrigerator. And finally, there's John, who's a 44-year-old DMV driving test instructor. His New Year's resolution is stop pulling out in front of people on the road when there's nobody behind them. Interesting. And one closing quote, and some of y'all can identify with this. Youth is when you're allowed to stay up late on New Year's Eve. Middle age or old age is when you are forced to stay up during New Year's Eve. A new year, new challenges. Let's do something. Once you grab the hand of the person next to you and close your eyes for a minute, just grab their hand for a second. Grab the hand of the person and close your eyes for a second. Now I want you just to, for a minute, while you have your eyes closed, think about all your trouble. Maybe the relationship's not so good. Maybe the budget book needs to be a little bit better. Maybe you just had recently somebody pass away. Maybe just been feeling down. Maybe you're just sick. You haven't felt so good. Maybe you just, somebody just been mean to you. Maybe you've disappointed somebody. Maybe you didn't tell the truth when you needed to. You feel that hand right to you, right next to you? I want you to imagine that's Jesus' hand. He's saying, I got you. When you fall, I have you. In your highs and your lows, I have you. When it's raining and when the sun comes out, I have you. When you disappoint others, I got you. Right in my hand. When someone disappoints you, I have you. In my hand. When somebody comes home to meet me and you weren't ready, I have you. When you want to help somebody and you don't have the means to help, I got you. When things ain't so good at the house, when there's relationships not so good, I got you. When you can't sleep at night, I got you. When pain is all up through your body, I have you. When you're low in the valley, I got you. If you have to go up a mountain, I have you at First Baptist. No matter where you go, who you're with, I got you. Lord, be with your people this morning. Let the hand that's being held be permeated and stand for your hand. For your word says that no man can pluck us out of that hand. It's a sure, confident, righteous hand. Thank you for never letting us go. When we messed up and we've turned our back on you, you have still always had your hand there. So this morning we feel your hand. And Lord, we welcome when we do see you, we can transmit the hand that we're holding now to the hand that has a hole in it that reminds us that you loved us so much that you died for us. Thank you for never letting us go. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 2. If you got it, Ephesians 2. I ain't going to be here too long. Buffet's already started. Ephesians 2, and we're going to look at one scripture. One of my favorites. It's the one that's always it's on Tim Tebow's little black strips always on him. I love this scripture. When I got the phone call from Miss D, I said, that's it. That's the one, and it's an awesome, awesome scripture. It's Ephesians 2:10, and we'll look at that as we consider not who we are, but who are you in Christ. Ephesians 2:10. Y'all stand for me. Stand. Let's stand together. All right. The scripture, Ephesians 2:10, reads this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let me read it again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All right, now let's say it all together. Let's look up and say this. Look up and say this together. Lord, 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 you are my purpose. My purpose. My purpose Lord, is you. Now say it again. Lord, Lord, you are my purpose. My purpose, Lord, is you. Y'all sit down. Everybody sit down. Have you ever asked a question or said, Lord, who am I? Or who am I in you? Lord, who am I? Or who am I in you? You know, some of us get up and go to church on Sunday morning, we don't even know why. My mom and daddy went. Or it's just a thing to do on Sunday. That's why I go. I'd rather be doing this. Or what are they going to say about me if they don't see me on Sunday morning on a pew? Some of us get up and go, we don't even know why. We see that a lot on the mission field. You know, children, parents, they're not sure who they are. You know, I said before, you go to the ball game and say, Mr. Mitch, you remember me? Their whole definition of who they are is at that ball game. Or what they did the year before. And man, y'all meet some parents. I'm the parent of blank, blank, or blank, blank. You know, he's going to, or she's going to, really? We're glad to hear that, but what's up with you? What's going on with you? Is that touchdown or that three-point shot or that home run or that fastball at 93 miles an hour? That's more to talk about than who you are? Better yet, who you are in the Lord? Lord, who am I and who am I in you? I think that's the question in the whole country. We've somewhat lost our identity. You know, I think sometimes we like to think that we are doing all what the Lord asks us to do, or we think that because we have this stature, this is what the Lord wants us. And somewhat, somehow, because of the influx of technology and Facebook and Twitter and email and everything else, everything is so simultaneous and microwave, we've kind of lost who we are. You know, if we lose who we are, why we want to come to church and get together with saints, or if we're over there at an athletic event where you have the biggest pulpits in America, or at a game, you'll see two of them today later on Sunday, and there's more than half of them don't even know why they're there other than they want entertainment. In your Christian walk, y'all, how many times do you ever tell somebody God loves you during the day? How many times do you ever say God bless you during the day and you're God's people? I went to this conference 15 years ago. We're in Louisville, Kentucky. No, it's more than that, 20 years ago. Oh, Lord, I'm old. It's 20 years ago. And we were over there. It's a Metro Conference basketball tournament. And Southern's there. We're over there. And we go to this hotel where we're going to interview Coach Turk and all that group. And here comes Reggie White walking by. I mean, big, gargantuan, wonderful man. I'm like, whoa! So I tell our photographer, Larry Duncan, I said, Dunk, we got to interview this guy. June, he don't want to bother you. He called me Junior. So, no, it'd be awesome to get Reggie White. That's Reggie White, man. Yeah. June, we ain't got time for this. You know, they say Louisville barbecue's good. We're going to be late. Forget that, man. Let's go. So we're going to get in. We go and we get in the elevator. And, man, it's so crazy. You know, we didn't know that there was this conference going on over there. You walk in there, we got in the elevator, and there's these folk in there. Walking in, somebody said, praise the Lord. How you doing? Praise the Lord. How you doing? Just fine. Praise the Lord. So we go up there, and we get there, and we go up into this room, and there's all these people right there in the parlor. How you doing? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm like, man. So we get there, and that's Reggie right before he gets ready to start doing a men's conference. And I walk up to him and I said, Reggie White, I mean, my name's Mitchell Williams. You don't know me between. I just love to have a few minutes with you. We're from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. You know, a little bit, you know, Brett, you know, I just like that. He said, sure, but you got to sit through this whole conference. So for an hour, we sat there and listened to Reggie Wright talk to about 50 men. And when it was all over with, you know, we got ready, and then, you know, guys, a number of them come out and say, hey, we're glad that you're here, brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. First question I asked Reggie White, said, what is this with this praise the Lord? And he said this, and I'll never forget, he said, if the world doesn't know who God's people are, how are they going to know? The world don't know who you are. How they gonna know who he is? Our text in Ephesians 2 is wonderful. Paul talks to us from death to life. He connects God's grace and relationships, verses 1 through 3. I love this chapter. And he says, and you made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. What's he saying? He's talking about us, how we follow the world. How we're more apt to knowing what's going on television, yet we watch these television shows, these news shows, how bad the world is. That's the devil. I know we got, you know, I've been in the news business for 27 years. They sit up there, if they can tell you anything to make you believe it, they'll say it. What are you saying, Mitchell Williams? I'm telling you, and Tony Ducker can tell you this too, there have been people that, when I was at Channel 7, they'll sit there and try to tell you the right things, and when that camera goes off, they live something else, different way. If you're married to what the world is saying about itself, and that's more the conversation in your head, that's more the dialogue, who are you? Are you really walking the way you're supposed to walk? That's what Paul is saying. And you know this, you know what's the danger of that? If we do that, these children sit there and say, and they'll do the same thing. That's what's happening out there now. You know, we said that, what is it, that we have 72% of our homes that was raised by one person that's a mama, that has an athlete there. We got 80% of our kids that don't regularly attend anybody's church. You know why? It's because folks like us, we're more apt to lean on the world than we are on the Lord. I said, brother who's in law enforcement, he'll tell you how many people he sees nighttime when the lights are off. These children following darkness, just like Paul says. But what's awesome in this is that he picks it up in verse 4. Man, we had Austin Davis talk about this at Pearl River FCA 2 years ago. His favorite verse, Ephesians 2 and 4, and it says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come that he might show you the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Even though we messed up, and the devil and the enemy, Beelzebub, wants to take our children, take our homes, and take our land, but God, Y'all, you know, there's not a whole lot of hope for this world in terms of reaching children like this other than that scripture. But God. And then he goes to verse 8, which I like too. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. How often do you tell your story? How often do you give your testimony? How often do you tell people how good God's been to you? How often do you do it? How often do you tell how about God's grace, how he did this for you? This is why I can see every day. It's not because of myself. It's because of him. He gave us so much. How quick do you do it? How often do you do it, First Baptist? When you run outside this building, will you say that today to anybody? Will you say it this week? Will you say it this month? Who will you say it to? What is your story? How did the Lord do it for you? How did he come see about your body? How did he promote you on your job? How he gave you substance when you didn't think you were going to have it? How he made a way? Do you ever tell it? Do our children hear it? You know, this Bible has been sent from generations and generations and generations because these folks who just cared so much about the word, they told it to their children. At your home, do you talk about on the dinner table how good God's been to you and how he made a way out of no way? For by grace you've been saved. Through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And then he picks it up and he comes to our verse, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. You know what workmanship means? It comes from a Greek word, poiema. What's that mean? It's where we get the American word, poem. He loved you so much that he made you a poem, a beautiful writing, my signature statement. Yeah. So somebody asked you, say, who you are? I'm a poem. God took time out to make me a paragraph and a paragraph. I'm not Shakespeare. I'm a godly writing, for we are his workmanship. We are his poem. I think about Trevor Knight, this boy that was at Oklahoma, this boy who was a third-string quarterback. He goes against Alabama in the national championship game. Don't even really know he was going to play the month before. He's up there zinging that ball. Ball around Alabama's defensive backs. And I love Alabama. I'm an Alabama fan, but they're looking around and saying, Lord, who is that? Wide receivers wide open. Safeties over there calling their mama over there trying to say, Mama, what's going on? Alabama, they know what's going on. That boy Trevor Knight got up. Did y'all see him after the game, the quarterback, Oklahoma? This is what he said. It's just playing with confidence, knowing that I have trust in my Lord up above to give me the confidence to play and just knowing that he has my back through every situation. The Oklahoma quarterback on national television, he didn't have no shame. Highest rated game prior to the national championship game, here's this boy didn't even know he was going to start a month ago. He sitting there giving God the praise. What? Oh, it goes further than that. You can go to the national championship game and you can go see Gus Malzahn on one side and Jimbo Fisher on one side. You know, Jimbo Fisher is one of the biggest FCA golf tournaments in Florida. Gus Malzahn gets more speaking engagements than FCA as much as Hugh Freeze does. Them cats on both sides love the Lord. At the national championship game. You know, I was thinking about Tony Hughes, who's one of my good friends. He's the assistant head coach of Mississippi State. You know, he's a pastor. He pastors a church on Edward Street here in Hattiesburg. You know that? One of the best recruiters in the country. Was on the FCA Advisory Council for years. I don't know, the last time I was talking about Luke Hancock, this boy out of Louisville. Got the beard. You know, Louisville's on that run through the tournament. This boy broke his leg. First guy to come over, this tall guy who's 6'8", who was a transfer walk over there. He's praying over. He's praying over him. Everybody else is going nuts, and the boy's hollering and screaming. He's calm, and he's praying over him. Luke Hancock, very involved in FCA at the University of Louisville. And you ask him about who he is. He said, I'm a part of a family. I'm an army of people who love the Lord. They won the national championship because, you know, during the game, you know, Michigan was beating their brains out. In the second half, he hit like 6 3-pointers. Luke Hancock. Did you know that UCLA, you know, the one that won the World Series and the College World Series in baseball, do you know they have the biggest youth baseball camp in the West? FCA baseball camp. And their players run it. UCLA. Y'all know there's a lot of hell and stuff going on in California, but a UCLA baseball program. Them boys over there helping to do that at a baseball camp. And, you know, y'all saw the Saints game yesterday. Some of you are cheering for the Saints. And I was cheering for the Saints halfway, and I was cheering for the Seahawks the other way because I was cheering for Russell Wilson. Y'all Google Russell Wilson when you can. The young man could be the next coming of Tim Tebow or better. If he plays in the Super Bowl, listen to the post-game news conference. He ain't got no shame. So let's not get this confused. We can talk about all the bad stuff going on, but God's raising up an army of leaders. They might be on this front row. Just might be. It might be at your house. It might be that little old baby that was just born. I think it's easy to say, like, the world's going to hell. But it's not really socially good to say that we got God's remnants coming up. And we do. We just got to be the church that doesn't lose our identity. We can't come to church for the sake of coming to church. We come to church because we know who puts butter on our bread. We come to serve it. We are his workmanship. Yes, created in Christ Jesus. Notice it didn't say not for Christ Jesus. It didn't say that. Created in Christ Jesus, meaning you were created in the blood. Calvary's Hill. Not created for, you created in. You created in victory. Children, don't ever, 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 ever think you have to compromise. You're created in victory. You're created in Jesus who overcame death. Yes, sir. Will you have trial and tribulation? Yes. Will somebody say stuff bad about you? Yes. But the ultimate victory, it is yours. You were not created for the Savior. You were created in him. That's for all of us. We should have no shame because we created in him. He overcame everything. So can we. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. What are we doing for God outside this building? What you doing? Really, what are you doing? You know, there. You know, FCA, we're 501c3. You know, it's tough out there for us raising money for everybody. Just tough. And they say we're the most charitable state in the country, and we are. We got folk that love the Lord now. But, man, when it comes to doing stuff outside of our homes, we hesitate because we read the news and say, well, the economy is bad. It might be. God ain't left. Well, them children are just bad out there. How the heck you going to try to reach some of them children? God ain't left. Yeah, that budget book looks pretty bad. I don't know. But God ain't left. So what you saying, Brother Mitch, I'm telling you, whatever you got a passion for, it ain't got to be FCA. It can be anything. It could be the Heart Association. It could be, I was shouting a while ago, we got a brand new building on 27th Avenue. I just found out a while ago that we're going to have a pregnancy center there, somebody that can promote folks to keep their babies right next to us. Yes! What are you doing? Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Do something with your passion for Christ. Do something. And there's three ways you can do it. You can pray about it. You can give your substance about it. Some of us, you know, been here for a little while. You got a little money. Give. And for you young folk out there, use your arms and your feet. Go and help somebody outside your door. I'm young, too. So if you're 50-something younger than, you know, or 60-something younger, that means us, too. How about this? For good works which God prepared beforehand. What's that mean? Can't take no credit for it. You'll hear today after these ball games, there'll be somebody, I did this. I did that. What can you really take credit for? You know, have you ever seen my wife? She's gorgeous. I cannot take any credit for marrying her. See some of these children over here? They're so gorgeous. I'm looking at all of them. Maybe some of your grandchildren and your children. Don't even take no credit for that. Can you take credit for getting up this morning? Can you take credit for your job that you might have? No. No. All this stuff, what we're doing and what we're dealing with, and all these efforts and things that we can, it's all made these opportunities so that we can't take any credit. We've got to give God the praise for it. In this microwave simultaneous age that we live in, I want it now. You know why? Because we've put self before the Lord. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. I know a little something about that. Y'all saw in the news about this boy named Jadarius Garner. He was a football player at JCJC. And he went to Troy, got a scholarship. And he went home to his home in Clarksdale, Mississippi. And during the break, and he was in a two-car accident, he got killed. And they found him on the road, had been run over twice. That was on the news. A couple weeks ago. Talk about walking it. Go back 2 years. That boy came from Clarksdale, Mississippi, just at a loss. Honest as a pickle, was in a game. He'd tell you how bad he was. We had a little old chaplain named Justin Graves over there. He works for us over there. He just went over there and took the boy fishing and hunting and doing all this other stuff. And finally, we got that FCA college getaway, which we're going to go to the end of the month. He finally took him and three other football players. Usually, we don't get any football players going other than Coach Freeze, who is a missionary on that campus, taking football players to a college getaway for FCA. He took some football players over there from Jones, and one of them was Jadarius Garner, because if he didn't reach him, he was spiritually going to die. So this boy comes over, he's got braids and everything else, and I think he's got about four earrings over there. I met him, he's got an arm like this. What's up, G? And that's what everybody called him. He held my hand. He's holding my hand. I thought he'd break my wrist.
Say, hey, Mr. Mitch, how you doing? Say, how you doing, son? I don't know if I want to be here.
Well, you're going to be here. Come on. We got these 3 days out here in these woods. Can I get you a little background about him? That little boy, that beautiful football player that how all in braids, you know, his... Both his parents are in jail right now for murder. Two different murders. playing linebacker at Jones Junior College. Let me tell you about walking in them. That boy went to that college getaway in Lake Forest Ranch in Macon, Mississippi, and he went and he met all these other people, just like these future kids here that love the Lord. And his whole mindset about who he was changed. It changed. It's like, oh, I ain't got to be like my mom and my daddy. Bench press 450 like 8 times. He just, I don't have to be like, he went around and got him. And that was the first night, my Friday night. And he's over there doing the worship service just like this. And by the time he got one of them little Bibles, them FCA Bibles, he got one of them little Bibles up there, and we led him through a little quick Bible study, and then he had a second Bible study on that Saturday, then he got to walk around and kind of meet young people like that. And then the next thing you know, he got that Saturday night when it came down for worship service, and you saw this 6'2", 235-pound young man, him and his other brothers. That's right. You saw G raise his hand. And you saw the silhouette, I could still see the silhouette of his hand raising up, worshiping God. And the people that were next to him, the guys that was right, started doing it on that Saturday night in Macon, Mississippi. He gave his life to Christ that night. He left us 10 days ago. But we're going to see him again. And you know why we're going to see him again? It's because he got around young people, folks who knew their own identity. They knew who they were in the Lord, and it saved his life. His physical part is gone. But his whole existence, the reason he came to Jones, God knew it, for him to get saved. Are you walking in that First Baptist Church? Are you walking in the sacrifice of our Savior, knowing that you have the gift to maybe change the life for somebody you don't even know? But how you live, how you walk, what you do, are you walking in that? Or have you just give up? I wonder how that conversation is going to be like when you get up to heaven and you said, Lord, it was so bad, I just gave up. Really? And Jesus is over there interceding, saying, God, no, they did. I gave up. I did nothing. What if that little chaplain didn't do anything for that boy? He bounced straight to hell. That body that was on that highway was just a dead person. Y'all all right? You know who you are? Do you know who you are in the Lord? You just might be God's last chance to reach somebody for him. Just might. Let's stand together. Let's look above and let's do like we did earlier and say this all together. Say, Lord, 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 you are my purpose. My purpose, Lord, is you. Say it again. Lord, you are my purpose. My purpose, Lord, is you. Now turn to the person next to you. Turn to him. Look at him. Repeat this after me. My sister, My brother, can I help you reach your purpose? My sister, my brother, can I help you reach your purpose? God loves you. God loves you. And so do I. And so do I. And so do I. And so do I. Y'all, this altar is now open. If you have lost your identity and you're not so sure why you even exist, why you come to church, why the Lord gave you any hope, you might want to come pray about it. Maybe you're come to church and you just don't do nothing. And you've got reminded today how valuable you are. It might be a good day to come to the altar and get it right. If you're looking around and you say to yourself, man, the world's going to hell. And you've said to yourself, I ain't doing enough to keep somebody going to hell too. Maybe it's your time to come get it right. I don't know about you, but I got 53 schools and 5 colleges and I ain't doing enough. I know the Lord's going to be a little bit, maybe a lot of bit disappointed with me, but I'm going to sure work like crazy. That every young person that picks up a ball that's in high school, middle school, and up has a chance to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's your role? What area of influence do you have where you can affect the kingdom for Him? If you drive a truck, if you teach, if you run a business, if you just go to elementary, middle, and high school, what are you doing? Please consider that. I'm going to pray for everybody. And then if you need to come up here and do a little personal time with the Lord, do that. Thanks, Miss D. We were praying last night, deep in the night, for Pastor Brad, Miss Rebecca. Y'all continue to do that. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. Lord, I love you so much for this time. And I may go a little longer than I'm supposed to. Buffet's probably a little bit cold, maybe. But I know you spoke. I know you did. If you didn't speak to anybody but to me. So, Father, we ask you to put your spirit all over your people. These are your people. Would you come see about them? Come see about them when they feel naked and alone. Come see about them. And Father, with all these distractions out here, would you continue to remind them, even if they get up in the morning and they see the birds flying in the air, hallelujah, that you're in control. Thank you, Father, for First Baptist Church in Petal. These are your people. You're doing a special thing here, but it only starts with everybody being reminded they are yours. Lord, I ask you, Father, to bless that man out there that might be maybe just lost his way a little bit. Bless that mother that maybe needs a sister in the Lord. Maybe that grandmother and that grandfather that just sees so much stuff and they get so concerned. Come by and see about them. Tell them you still got it. And Lord, for all these children in here, growing up in this world, help this body remind these children that you are still in control no matter what. Lord, when we lose our way, keep extending your hand out to us and tell us that you got us. Let your spirit fill this room and this place. Bless First Baptist Church in 2014. Let them be a beacon on this Highway 42 so folks, when they pass by, they'll know you live. Lord, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' mighty name.